Afternoon, I'd like to call the House Labor and Commerce Committee to order. Today is Wednesday, April 24, 2024. Let the record reflect the time is 4:32 p.m. Today we have President Representative Prox, Representative Fields, Representative Carrick, and myself, Representative Sumner. Staff will be assisting us today are Kevin Allen with House Records, Zachary Lawhorn with the LIO, and Clark Bickford, my staff and committee aide to House Labor and Commerce. Today we have five items on the agenda. HJR 27 is being rolled to a different day. Let the record reflect that Representative Wright joined us at 4:33 p.m. We're going to hear the following bills today in committee. HB 375, Energy Sources of Motor Vehicles from House Transportation. HB 385, Occupational License Fees from Representative Eastman. Let the record reflect that Representative Ruffridge joined us also at 4:33 p.m. HB 325, business license fees from Representative Mina. SB 196, employer drug and alcohol testing from Senator Bjorkman. SB 228, extend board of massage therapists from Senator Bjorkman. And I don't see Senator Bjorkman, so we will start with HB 375, energy sources of motor vehicles from the House Transportation Committee. We set an amendment deadline on this bill and received one. What? Brief at ease. So we received one amendment by myself, and I will move amendment number one. Okay, without objection, amendment number one has been adopted. We have the chair of House Transportation with us today. Representative McCabe, please approach the committee and put your name on the record.
Thanks, Chairman Sumner, Vice Chair Ruffridge, and committee. I appreciate the opportunity for the second hearing for this bill. The amendment is fabulous. I'm going to run right out and buy me a nuclear-powered vehicle right now. So I have no objection to that amendment, and I think it definitely makes the bill stronger, and I'm available for any questions. Just as a sort of a reminder or recap of what this bill does is it just emphasizes consumer choice in vehicles, and it doesn't allow a municipality or borough or locality to limit those choices. As I mentioned last time, there was, and I think the SEMA invited testimony mentioned there was some issues in California where they said no more internal combustion engines, apparently forgetting that hydrogen powered vehicles are often internal combustion engines, so it would prevent an actual green or sustainable or better environmental engine from actually operating. So
okay,
are there any questions for me?
Thank you, Representative McCabe. Are there any questions for bill sponsor? Okay. Seeing none, we will go into public testimony. Public testimony is now open on HB 375. Is there anyone in the room wishing to testify on House Bill 375? No. And there is no one online, so we will close public testimony. Seeing no other business before the committee on House Bill 375, Vice Chair Ruffridge, do you have a motion?
Thank you, Chair Sumner. I move House Bill number 375, version alpha, also referred to as 33-GH1381/A, be advanced from the committee as amended with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note. Thank you.
Objection.
Zero fiscal note.
Okay. Sorry. There is objection. Representative Fields?
Sure. Number one, I don't think it's a good idea generally to be taking away authority from localities. I think there should be a very high bar for taking away that authority. Other legislators do that with regularity. We don't. I think it's a good thing that we don't take away that authority. Number two, on this particular issue, should a locality want to regulate vehicles, I think that would be a legitimate thing to do in terms of public policy. There's a lot of negative health impacts from diesel, gasoline fuel. They're actually extremely well documented in the environmental health literature. People who are closer to highways do have higher rates of asthma, higher rates of heart disease, higher rates of cancers. So I don't think our localities are going to use this authority, but if they want to, frankly, that's all right, and I don't support taking away local control.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay. There is objection. Please call the roll.
Representative Prox.
Yes.
Representative Ruffridge.
Yes.
Representative Sadler.
Pass.
Representative Wright.
Yes.
Representative Carrick.
No.
Representative Fields.
No.
Representative Sadler.
Dan, you support this bill.
Yeah. brief it is. I'm sorry. I walked in late. I'm not sure what was being.
The roll is voided. Please call the roll.
Representative Fields.
No.
Representative Prox.
Yes.
Representative Ruffridge.
Yes.
Representative Sadler.
Yes.
Representative Wright.
Yes.
Representative Parrott.
No.
Chair Sumner.
Yes. So with 5 yeas and 2 nays, House Bill 375 will be reported from committee. We will move on to Senate Bill 196, Employer Drug and Alcohol Testing, from Senator Bjorken's office. We heard this bill last week and set an amendment deadline. We received no amendments. Do committee members have questions for the bill sponsor? Questions for the bill sponsor. Okay. Seeing no questions before the committee on SB 196, Vice Chair Ruffridge, do you have a motion?
Thank you, Chair Sumner. I move Senate Bill number 196, version alpha, referred to as 33-LS1144/A, be advanced from committee as amended with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Okay. Without objection. Senate Bill 196 will be reported from committee. Next, we have Senate Bill 228, Extend Board of Massage Therapists, from Senator Bjorkman's office. This is the first bill hearing on Senate Bill 228, and I'd like to invite Senator Bjorkman to put your name on the record and begin your presentation.
Thank you very much, Chair Sumner and esteemed members of the House Labor and Commerce Committee. My name is Senator Jesse Bjorkman, representing the northern and central portions of the Kenai Peninsula. Senate Bill 228 proposes to extend the sunset date of the Board of Massage Therapists by 6 years. In the fall of 2023, our Division of Legislative Audit completed a sunset audit of the board. In this audit, it was determined that overall the board has operated in the public interest by conducting its meetings in an effective manner, as well as actively amending regulations to address statutory changes, improving the licensing process, and enhancing public safety. Our auditor made note of 4 issues which should be addressed by the board and the department as the board moves forward. The department staff should help develop control procedure to ensure license approvals are not based on outdated documentation. The commissioner should work to improve recruitment and retention of investigators, as well as DCBPL licensing staff. Also, the board should give consideration to increasing licensing fees. Currently, the Board of Licensed Massage Therapists will sunset this summer on June 30th. To allow the board to continue working in the public interest, Senate Bill 228 follows the recommended 6-year extension to June 30, 2030. It's also worth noting, I think, Mr. Chairman and committee members, that this board is made up of volunteers who do a lot of work that otherwise would need to be done by paid employees of the state under the Department of Businesses and Professional Licenses, under Commerce. And I think that it is laudable that so many of these volunteers want to have a seat at the table in regulating their own profession, making sure that members of their profession are remaining professional and following the law as it relates to their craft of massage therapy. So definitely think this board is a valuable one, and I know that it is highly valued by the licensed massage therapists that practice around our state. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I stand ready for your questions.
Thank you, Senator. Are there questions from the committee? No. Okay, we will go to your invited testimony, Senator, if that's all right. I have Annetta Atwell, Chair of the Board of Massage Therapy, Therapists. If you would please put your name on the record and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Honorable Representative Sumner, committee members. My name is Annetta Atwell. I am the Chair of the Board of Massage Therapists. I am in Fairbanks, Alaska. I want to first acknowledge the legislators who have supported our board through the difficult waters of the Executive Order 127. We really appreciated your help in defeating the great obstacle. We are here to talk about the reasons the Board of Massage Therapists are pursuing extension of the board's existence based on the Sunset Bill. When addressing the areas of concern stated by legislative auditor Chris Curtis, there were four areas she identified that should be corrected during the following 6 years. Three of the items of concern are to be borne by CDTL: hiring more staff, creating incentives to retain new staff members, and working to make sure applications are processed and approved before they become stale. The fourth item is a joint concern for both the state and the Board of Massage Therapists. This has been a topic for the board that has been addressed, trying to keep that topic in the public's awareness over the past 6 months. The adjustment of the licensing fee is suggested to be raised to the appropriate rate to keep the board from incurring additional debt. The governor issued a stay of fee increase during the pandemic and has protected that licensees from overtaxing a fund during such certain uncertain times. Well, that has come to an end, and the relief from the government aid is that was for that purpose. We licensees appreciated the hold on the increase. The board will work hand in hand with the state to establish and ensure fees that are justified for correct spending. We, the Board of Massage Therapists, understand that the increase will happen around the end of the year. The only way that this increase will not be increased is if the Senate Bill 225 or House Bill 314 is passed, moving the expense of investigations away from the licensing fees. The Board of Massage Therapists will continue to meet quarterly. We will meet yearly in Anchorage to provide a town hall meeting for our constituents. I am currently working with Director Robb to establish communication of the needs of the board from the state for optimal support. Since this position is still only 3 months in my hands, I am learning what a chair of a board is expected to do. Testifying in this hearing being one of them. Thanks for watching me grow. I have spoken with Ms. Robb about a list of items that I believe will help me become more aware of the needs in leading the board as efficiently as possible. One item that I have asked Ms. Robb to assist is identifying key staff members with whom I should have contact. This will hopefully streamline the time and resources it takes to answer questions concerning things such as timeliness and updating our website, the current board member status, and other new and interesting questions that I should have, but I just don't know yet. I'm also pursuing communication with other committees that we should be working alongside to make sure that we are looking at education of our licensees and possible overlap with occupations that parallel our scope of practice, items that help our board provide clear direction in each of these areas. Speaking of scope of practice, we are addressing statutes and regulations concerning our scope of practice at our June quarterly meeting, and I appreciate your time. I'm available if you have questions.
Thank you. Are there questions from the committee? No? Okay. Seeing no other questions from the committee, we will set this bill aside. Oh, sorry. Representative Fields.
Well, I was just going to say, given that we have had a lot of discussion about the board in the context of the EO, I'd be comfortable voting to advance it now if other members are. I think we've had a lot of testimony from massage therapists, and it does seem like a very useful and broadly supported board.
Well, I think Representative Fields, unless somebody's going to make a motion, I would prefer to set an amendment deadline. We can make it Friday morning and take action then. But generally speaking, I would like the committee to have a chance to amend bills should they choose, and maybe they don't, but
no problem.
I think probably we won't, but Representative Ruffridge.
Thank you, Chair Sumner. I was wondering if you don't mind if I could ask a couple of questions of the legislative auditor, Ms. Curtis.
Yeah. Thank you, Senator.
Good afternoon. My name is Chris Curtis, your state legislative auditor.
Thank you. Through the chair, thank you for being here today. The recommendations that were put forth in the audit seem to indicate that there was a number of items that either licensing or the department were to take up. Did you have any sort of anything to add as far as the connection between that and other audits that you've done? It seems to be a general theme. I didn't know if there was any comment that you'd like to add to that.
Certainly through the chair, Representative Ruffridge. You do see some repeat recs throughout the occupational board audits this year. The recommendation for the commissioner to work with policymakers to improve recruitment and retention. You'll see that across all state. We did have a recommendation to consider increasing fees. That's a fairly unique one. We don't typically see that. So, and then the stale documentation, a regulation that requires that documents older than 6 months be resubmitted. That was a new rec this year.
Thank you. Just to follow up, if I may. I'm glad that you brought up the fee component. That did seem like something I hadn't seen in a while, but I was working through Exhibit 4 with the registration fees, and it certainly seems like there is a number of fees that are processed. And maybe I missed it in the audit, but in your opinion, was there a reason for – was it too many investigations? Was it not enough people being licensed? What is the – lack of funds attributed to in your audit?
Through the chair, if folks look at Exhibit 3 on page 9, that's the schedule of revenues and expenditures, and you'll see that this board received quite a bit of general funds. And general funds were awarded to occupational boards to help mitigate the financial impact of the COVID-19 pandemic and the governor's fee freeze. So we've seen boards not increase their fees due to these general funds. Those general funds are not expected in the future. Additionally, DCCED put in a request last year to shift the funding source for all investigation costs to the general fund, as opposed to having their fees support that. That request was denied by the legislature, and DCBPL management stated that they didn't have time to redo their fee analysis. So that December 2023 renewal cycle did not have an increase due to this idea that they wouldn't need an increase because the investigated costs would be borne by the general fund. So I believe that in the future you'll see boards be more responsive to the fee analysis.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Carrick.
I know Representative Prox was in the queue as well, but through the chair, Ms. Curtis, I know that the staff challenges at DCBPL and the investigators has been a challenge for this board. Has it been an extraordinary challenge for this board, or is this something that we're going to see in potentially any audit for a board extension that might come through where there are sort of regular investigations and potentially a lot of licensing taking place?
Representative Carrick, through the chair, it's a typical challenge. A very more frequent challenge the last few years. I would say generally that when a board has a dedicated administrator, they have that dedicated position is typically higher paid, and they typically have just very general terms, lower turnover. This does not have a dedicated administrator, and we have seen turnover vacancies in supervisors and licensing staff.
And just a follow-up, just to clarify through the chair, the dedicated administrator is in CBPL, or is it with the board?
Through the chair, this board does not have a dedicated administrator. The boards like Meta Board has one. I believe CPA, Public Accountancy, has one. Some boards have actually a designated executive administrator that's in statute. And those positions tend to be higher paid than a typical occupational licensing staff. So those tend to have less, just general across the board, less turnover. But just in general terms, this department's really struggled with vacancies.
Representative Prox.
Thank you. Actually, I had questions for Ms. Robb.
Oh, Director Robb.
Director Robb, sorry.
For the record, Sylvan Robb, Director of the Division of Corporations, Business and Professional Licensing.
Yes, thank you. Through the chair, I was just hoping to get some feedback from you on the concerns from the audit. Have we made any progress in any of those areas?
Through the chair to Representative Prox, we absolutely have. So the audit period was from July 2020 through December of 2022. And I think it's no secret to this committee that during the pandemic, the division had severe staffing challenges. At points, our professional licensing team had 35% vacancy. I am happy to report that things are much better. We actually just had 4 occupational licensing examiners start within the last couple of weeks. And so with that higher staff, we are able to do better training, better oversight. During those periods when we had very high staffing challenges, supervisors were helping to do licensing. People can't work if they're in a licensed profession until they get their license. And so that is one of the things that we prioritize very highly. And so with the staffing challenges being addressed, we've been able to provide better training and oversight to our new staff. And so I think many of the challenges that Ms. Curtis identified have been addressed. And then, Mr. Chair, just to speak to the fee situation, we did put before the legislature last year in the governor's budget that we would switch the source of funding to cover investigations to general fund. That was not accepted given the timing of when the budget became final and when the renewal was for this project. We were not able to make that change in fees just because we can't change fees once we've opened the renewal period just because it's confusing for licensees as well as for staff. And so we certainly anticipate that we'll be addressing that at our next renewal. I don't know if you had additional questions, Representative.
I did. Thank you. Through the chair, Ms. Director Robb, the auditor mentioned a dedicated administrator. Is this board, does it warrant that extra pay and benefit or help to the board?
Through the chair to Representative Prox, I don't think that this board requires that level of support. So Ms. Curtis is correct. We do have 6 boards that have executive administrator positions. Those tend to be our professions where there is very complicated licensing and statutes and regulations. Additionally, some boards that license a number of professions. So example, the Board of Registration for Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors that licenses those 3 professional sets as well as landscape architects. The Medical Board also licenses physician assistants. So we have good staffing in place. The division has done work to reclassify some positions to create additional higher level staff oversight for some of our boards that don't have executive administrators so that we've shrunk the span of control for those supervisors so that they're not overseeing an enormous number of programs and can provide the dedicated attention that this board deserves.
Okay. And then final question. I guess we wouldn't necessarily hear from you about the Board of Massage Therapists for another 6 years. Should we schedule a time to get an update on specifically this board?
Through the chair to Representative Prox, that would be a policy call for the legislature. This is a hardworking, dedicated board. I would certainly echo the sponsors' appreciation for the work that our volunteer board members put in. And the division would certainly come to the legislature if we had concerns about the way things were progressing.
All right. Thank you. We are going to set SB 228 aside. We will set a amendment deadline for Friday, April 26th at 10 a.m. and look to take action at probably Friday. Moving on to House Bill 385, Occupational License Fees, a bill by Representative Eastman. During our last hearing on this bill, we set an amendment deadline, received two amendments. I believe Amendment 1 will not be offered.
I will not be offering Amendment 1.
Okay. Amendment number 2 was suggested by the bill sponsor. I will move Amendment number 2.
Object for discussion.
Okay, there is objection. If Representative Eastman would like to come forward, speak to his amendment. In brief, I believe there is a meeting very shortly for a number of our members.
Very well. Through the chair, Representative Eastman, House District 27.
Thank you.
Speaking to amendment number 2, the purpose of the underlying bill is to reduce licensing fees to a reasonable amount. And we were adopting a conservative approach. The administration, for the first time, put forward legislation on a more aggressive approach to remove from the calculation of licensing fees the investigation portion. Very much glad to see that. We have incorporated that into the bill. So you'll find each of the items from House Bill 314 are now included in Amendment Number 2. The two changes that you'll see from House Bill 314 appear on page 2 of the amendment, particularly subsection L and subsection M. Subsection L simply encourages the department to annually review whether the number of people licensed in a particular occupation has decreased and to assess whether or not the licensing fee is causing the decrease. So if there's a year where the department is concerned that the amount of the fee is resulting in a diminishing of the pool of licensees, then the department would be encouraged to adjust lower the licensing fee. And subsection M would establish the opportunity for the reduction of an initial fee for a member of the active duty armed forces or a spouse of a member of the active duty armed forces. So for their first application for a license, that first year they could be eligible for a reduced fee, and that's to encourage members of our armed forces and their families who may come into our state only for a short period of time to apply for a license, you know, at the earlier opportunity. And this would help with increasing the pool of our licensees by reducing that initial license fee by a portion.
Okay. Thank you, Representative. There is objection. Please call the roll.
Representative Carrick.
Pass.
Representative Fields.
Pass.
Representative Price.
No.
Representative Ruffridge.
No.
Representative Sadler.
No.
Representative Wright.
Yes.
Representative Carrick.
No.
Representative Fields.
No.
Chair Sumner.
Yes. Okay. So with, what was the?
Two yeas, five nays.
Two yeas and five nays. Amendment number 2 has failed to be adopted. Is there any other questions for the committee? No? Vice Chair Ruffridge, do you have a motion?
Thank you, Chair Sumner. I would move House Bill number 385, version alpha, also referred to as 33-GH1163/A, be advanced from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Okay, without objection, House Bill 385 will be reported from committee. Thank you, Representative Eastman.
Thank you.
Moving on to House Bill 325, business license fees, from Representative Mina's office. Public testimony is now open on House Bill 325. Is there anyone in the room wanting to testify? Okay, see no one. I see Jasmine Smith online. If you'd please put your name on the record and begin your testimony.
Good afternoon. Can you guys hear me okay?
We can. Please proceed.
Awesome. My name is Jasmine Smith, and I am a business owner, and I'm also an entrepreneurial ecosystem leader, and I have a co-working space in Anchorage, Alaska. And I just wanted to call and say a few comments in support of this bill and also bringing forth some suggestions for other ways to alleviate barriers to getting a business license in Alaska. And so as you guys know, right now there is one price to get a business license for the first year, and then it's double the price if you're going to get a two-year business license. And I just wanted to say that I'm really in support of having options to alleviate these fees for individuals, because not only are individuals paying for a business license, but if they want to be incorporated, in addition to professional licensing, that almost triples those fees because they have incorporation fees and sometimes professional licensing fees. And so I'm really in support of the idea of waiving these fees for people who are receiving any sort of public benefits or public assistances, because it also supports that idea of self-sufficiency and having larger economic goals. And then I also wanted to just say on record that I do think it would be great if we can look deeper into other ways to alleviate barriers, to include first-time business license purchasers. And I know that that might seem like a daunting or hard task with pulling up the data and finding out who exactly is a first-time business owner or someone starting a business. But to that, I would give a case in point to the state of Alaska's current directory and listing of business license holders, and point out that when you go to that website, you have the capacity to put in a list of all active business license holders and sort that by zip code, industry, and also city. And therefore, it might not be 100% accurate, but it's a great place to start in terms of individuals who might have already had a business and they wouldn't qualify versus those who do. And then I also just wanted to say in closing that at this time, not only are individuals paying for their state of Alaska business license, their incorporation fees, and their professional licensing fees, we can't forget that there are some cities who also require that people have a municipal and or borough business license. And then sometimes you have city level permits that they have to have as well. And so if the state can do something to support that and alleviate barriers for those who want to pursue owning a business, I think this would be a great thing. And I believe we have the means and the resources to not only support those on public assistance or getting any kind of public benefit, but also other demographics as well, to include first-time business license receivers. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Wright.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Jasmine Smith, I want to say thank you. I admire your work that you do in the community, and really appreciate your testimony.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, that is all the public testimony. We will close public testimony. Vice Chair Ruffers, do you have a motion?
Thank you, Chair Sumner. I move House Bill number 325, version S, also referred to as 33-GH1090/S. Be advanced from committee as amended with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Just want to object briefly.
Okay, Representative Carrick.
Just for a comment, Mr. Chair, I just really want to thank the bill sponsor for bringing this forward and to the testifiers who have spoken on this. I know that business licenses did go up during the pandemic, partially because there was no cost for those licenses. And as someone who got a business license during that time for that exact reason and started to really think about what a sole proprietorship would look like for myself, and knowing many others in my peer group who did the same, I think this represents a really valuable option for many individuals. And I think the changes that this committee has worked on this legislation have been really valuable considerations. So I just wanted to state my strong support of this legislation.
Okay,
and
thank
I remove
you.
My
There's
objection.
No, oh, there is not an objection. So, without objection, House Bill 325 will be reported from committee. I will send my staffer around with the bill files. He will track you down for the signature because we have a meeting and we are going to adjourn. It is 5:08 p.m.